If not, if you have a Bible and you'll read with us, we're going to take a reading from a familiar text today from the book of Psalms, chapter 23. The book of Psalms, the 23rd division of Psalm. And we'll read all six verses as part of our reading today. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to conclude our reading this morning. And if I had a title to give to our lesson today, it would be The Peaceful Life of the Lord's Sheep. The Peaceful Life of the Lord's Sheep. I was driving to church today and told Kathleen I'd be preaching on the 23rd Psalm, and she said it just sounds like death. And I don't know how to take that. She just said normally when you go to a funeral, it's a common thing to hear. And I certainly understand from one of these verses why that would be the case, but there's much richness here that I pray the Lord will help me to convey this morning, as I couldn't get this out of my heart and mind throughout the week this week. I want to begin today in the very first verse, and I want to talk about the Lord being your shepherd and what that means. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmist David in particular, he gives the Lord a lot of titles. He's my refuge, my strength, my buckler, my light, my song. And here, the Lord is a shepherd. Each title is meant to convey a different aspect of the Lord's character to us. And I don't know much about shepherding, and I don't know much about sheep. I can certainly study it and read about it, but I suppose that this psalm to David, there is a personal touch to it. I imagine David, and I don't know that this is the case, but I imagine David sitting in his bedchambers in a kingdom, cloaked in great power and obviously busy with many things, and hearkening back to these simple days where he was not even a prominent part of the family enough to be remembered with the other brothers when Samuel comes and wants to anoint them with oil, that David is at a distance and he's forgotten almost and has to be gone and called to be anointed as the king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. And here we find David hearkening back to those days and perhaps reminiscent of the feelings of what it was like in those simple days. And very often I think we as human beings, we do that. We look back to times gone by and we see just how good things were and the blessings that we once had. And David here is remarking, and so there's this sense to which he understands with a deep intimacy what it is like to be a shepherd, and yet by implication here, he also knows what it's like to be a sheep. Here, when I hear the title of a shepherd, there are two things about God that jump out to me about the Lord's character: his provision and his protection. his provision and the Lord's protection. Two things that if you think about it, we at times obsess over. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to afford this? How are we going to retire? And constantly the mind, thousands and thousands of times throughout life, is worried and concerned about provision that here the Lord has anointed himself as a shepherd, which whose job is to take care of our provision, our protection. This psalm speaks volumes about the Lord as our protector and how he's a shepherd. And in various circumstances, the psalmist strives to teach us and reveal to us or impress upon our hearts that we need not worry. And the reason is not because the circumstances in life do not jeopardize our safety, because we know that we live in a world of sin and that anything at any time can befall both our bodies, our spirits, our minds, our health. All of these things are subject to, are exposed to, and are invulnerable to things that can endanger us. But whenever this psalm is being written, the focus is not upon the our fragility, but rather upon the Lord's provision and protection in our fragile state. The Lord as a shepherd to us implies the vulnerable condition of being a sheep. And isn't it true that you and I are incredibly vulnerable and fragile in this life? Kathleen and I were not too long ago on a vacation, and we were enjoying ourselves very much. And in the middle of it, something dawned on me. It was how fragile that enjoyment was. That all I had to hear or come to know is that something back home was happening with one of you, and it would get in my mind. It would be hard to rest without thinking about what was going on with one of you. Or perhaps if one of us on vacation got sick, or perhaps something unfortunate happened, or we were time delayed, or there were so many things, and I began to think about just how fragile that my peace of mind and my life truly is, subject to millions and millions of things that could happen that would disrupt the peace of my heart and mind. And yet, all of that, I believe the psalmist is trying to calm by reminding us, but the Lord is your shepherd. Now, if you think of a sheep, if you saw a field that had 5 or 10 sheep in it, and there was a predator of some sort that had climbed in and was going to do harm, you would worry the same as if there were 10,000 sheep in that field. Because sheep are so vulnerable, and their nature is so unable, defenseless, that it doesn't matter if there's 1 or 2 or if there are 10 or 20,000, if one animal begins to prey upon that flock, all of the sheep are in danger. And in a world that we try to make ourselves build defenses and build a refuge from all the possible things that can happen to us, the reality remains that you and I are extremely vulnerable to everything in this life, and we are in deep need of someone to provide and to protect us. Every single person in here, I don't care how educated and wealthy a person is, they need God's protection for their heart and their soul. And here there's this jubilation, I believe, that those of us who have been saved by God's grace can say, the Lord is my shepherd. You ever think about, whenever I travel outside of the country, I'm very aware of this, how much of the graces that we enjoy are dependent upon other established graces that we never think about. Like just for example, having a paved road. Such a simple blessing that we have enjoyed for so long that you probably go years without thinking about how much that just a simple paved, well-paved road is a blessing to your life. Certainly whenever we are sick and something happens to us, then we become well acquainted with the blessing of just being able to awake every day and not having aches and pains and sickness. And then something happens and then we're mindful of, man, for years and years, very often when I get sick, I say, Lord, this was a good reminder for the gratitude I ought to have for the years of being undisturbed with good health. God's provision and his protection, aren't they just things that we just expect? And yet, when you really boil it down to it, isn't God's provision and protection for you such a foundational grace upon which so many of the graces of our life are built upon? That we don't even remember to give thanks. Lord, you protect us. The Lord is my shepherd. There's this, how do I want to say this? I take joy with my children most of the time, right? When they're scared. And sometimes their imagination runs wild to things that are not really things at all. But to them, they're things, real things, that invoke great fear. And they come to me, and most of the time, all they need is to be in my presence. And suddenly, by just being in my presence, their fears are dispelled. And I love watching my children curl up next to one of us and just fall into a deep, peaceful sleep. And the only thing that changed was they were in their room, they felt alone. And when they came to me, they were in my presence. The Lord is my shepherd. And when we are in points of deep anxiety and fear about things in our life, one of the greatest things that we can do to alleviate that fear is just simply get close to the shepherd. I think very often people overthink things. You know, we want God to impute to us some grand wisdom and some jewel of understanding in his word that we've never had before. And so we look to the heavens and we ask God, why is this happening? And what do I do about this decision in life? And we ask all of these things. But listen to me today, just getting closer to his presence is sufficient. It's enough. Because I know that when I am near him and in his presence, that even by David establishing him as my shepherd, I know that it is the job of the shepherd. It is his sole occupation to care for me, to protect me, and to do that. And just the dynamics between a shepherd and a sheep, they are altogether different creatures of infinitely different understanding. And so they're the sheep mindlessly wanders in a pasture, not knowing where he's going, not knowing what dangers are outside of that fence, not knowing really anything about this life, completely defenseless, and yet the shepherd knows it all. He knows where the green pastures are at. He knows where the still waters are at. He knows where the diseased waters are at. He knows where the prey tends to come and attack. He knows everything. He knows about their anatomy. He knows how to do the things that are necessary to care for the sheep, both internally and externally. He knows how to feed them. He knows how to calm their fears. The shepherd knows more about what the sheep needs than the sheep have any clue as to the dangers of this life.
And that is infinitely more true between us and God than it is a real shepherd and real sheep.
There is a key to life, I think, that the Christian has to learn. And that is that we don't know anything. Really.
There is this illusion that we have, control and we have knowledge. But listen, we don't know anything in comparison to the shepherd.
As a result of him being our shepherd, what does the psalmist say? I shall not want. I think of the words of Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount. It's amazing how many times that the word of the Lord can emphasize something, and yet our knowledge of it does not eliminate our tendency to violate it. Or in other words, does the Lord not tell us in his word even more plainly than this? I mean, this is a plain statement, isn't it? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want or be in want, be in need. That's not going to happen. So I want you to think, not only in this moment, but for the rest of your life, you will not be in need because the Lord is your shepherd. Now, I think we can think, okay, what does that mean? What is being want of what? Anything. Be in need of anything. Not just provision, but staying near to the shepherd, to a shepherd whom deeply loves his sheep, who the New Testament tells us that he lays down his life for the sheep. So God came in the flesh because of his love for the sheep. The shepherd came into the flesh to lay down his life to make provision and to protect us from all possible harm that could come upon us. And yet there still is in the human nature this tendency to be afraid and anxious. And that's why Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount spends such great emphasis saying, do not be anxious. Or in the King James it says, take no thought for tomorrow. Or do not be anxious about tomorrow. Don't let your heart be overwhelmed. So perhaps you're waiting an impending diagnosis and you don't know, what am I going to have? You can rest assured that in God's provision, you will not want. God knows what is occurring in your heart and life. God cares deeply about those things. And I can know, I can rest with this assurance, I'm not going to want. I'm not going to be in need. And then in the text, we see this series of things that God does. He does this, and he does that, and he does this. And there are four of those. It says this, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Now, what that doesn't mean is he says to me, you go lay over there. That's a good place for you to be. That's not what he's saying here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures means this. Sheep by nature are nervous creatures because there must be an awareness that they're defenseless. And so because they're nervous, they're constantly spooked, running and jumping at sounds and the sight of things and things that are unknown. And so it's saying this. When I see my shepherd there, and I know his ability to protect me and to put me in a place where it will bring nourishment to me, I of my own accord feel enough comfort to lay down and rest. That's a pretty big statement in lieu of what he's going to say in verse 4 about walking in the valleys of the shadow of death, walking through the valleys of the shadow of death. I think sometimes there is this too much emphasis placed upon man's decisions leading to man's results. Or in other words, I make decisions, but ultimately my steps are ordered by the Lord. God knows what I'm going to do. And God can guide, even unbeknownst to me, that I be led to uncomfortable places. And yet what I have found in my own life is that it is in those places very often that is exactly where God wants me. See, there's this tendency, at least that I see in myself, is that when I get in a vulnerable position, or when I get in an uncomfortable position, or when I'm anything that I don't like, I'm trying to get out of it. Immediately, the goal of my heart and life is, what can I do to get out of this? But what if what God is trying to teach us is not, hey, you're in this bad position, you learned this singular lesson, now flee and get out of it. What if God is wanting you to do is to take you to a place where there is prey near, where there is a lurking presence that's trying to harm you. And yet what God's wanting to teach you is that he's your shepherd and he will protect you. What if those states of vulnerability are exactly where God is leading us to? Why? Because what really matters in life, and this grows deeper and deeper with me every day, is relationships. That's really what matters in life. You realize that? Our relationship with God being deepened is really what matters. Our relationship with one another really in this life is what matters above everything else. And so what if God, in an attempt to do something to our walk with him, leads us into places, and what he's wanting us to exhibit is such a deep trust in our love and affection for him that it causes us to lie down, to be calmed, by just knowing that he is near? What if the goal is not, in God's eyes, to get healed, to avoid the catastrophe? What if that's not what God wants? What if all of that is part of his plan to deepen what truly matters? And that is to know him and to be known more deeply of him. Here, his presence makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads, he restores, and he leads. So, here's the question that naturally follows in my mind, at least. If his presence doesn't make me lie down in green pastures, what does make me lie down in green pastures? If he doesn't lead me, whom or what does lead me? And if he doesn't restore me, what does? What or whom is grants those things to you? Lest we think that it's only Christianity and its precepts are only applicable to the easy things in life. In verse 4 and verse 5, he erases that notion very clearly. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The profoundness of that statement experienced is hard to even conceive of. Like, as I stand here today, as far as I know, healthy, in my physical prime, it's easy to prescribe to you, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't be afraid. But what David's talking about here is a very real experience that God offers to us because of his presence. Do you realize that you can be dying and be free of fear. There's a famous saying, but I can't remember the poet that said it. It said something like, man dies a thousand deaths because of his one death. Or just means, in anticipation of dying, in our minds, we fear it so greatly and we think about it so often that we die a thousand deaths before just the one. And here, the psalmist is saying that we as Christians have access to something that the world doesn't. Not predicated upon our knowledge of what is to come. Yes, that brings great consolation, doesn't it? Knowing that God has prepared a better place for us is something that grants us great peace. But even taking for a moment and setting that aside, just knowing that God is in and protective of me, that He is my shepherd, means that no matter where I go and what I do, I can trust my shepherd, because ultimately my future is not hinging upon me as much as it is Him. He is protecting me. He is with me. And I love that it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not in the valley, but through it. Because listen, when you're walking through something, it's indicative that you're going somewhere else than that place. And listen to me, we're going somewhere on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death is a place far better than what the fear of that valley is worth avoiding. And so he's saying, you're going, and every person, for all of this attempt to avoid death, listen to me, we are all going to die. And so rather than fear it with this great gripping fear and attempt to avoid it at all costs, why not stare right at the terrible fear that we might have and say, yes, that valley looks deep. And yes, it is full of darkness. And nobody has ever come back and told us what it's like from this personal existential where their mind is and what it feels like. But listen, God has warned us or has told us in His word, we should fear no evil even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Why do we fear no evil? Well, He tells us, because He's with us. God is with us. When He makes these promises, especially in the New Testament, when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that is the greatest promise we could ever receive. I will always be with you. Listen, heaven without God would not be heaven. What makes it heaven? God's there. That's what makes it heaven. And yet there's a sense to which we can experience a form of heaven on earth by God being with us in His presence, no matter what. And there is this unique thing offered to the Christian that when we even walk through these valleys of deep sorrow, because another translation of this could be we walk through the valleys of deep darkness. And so you walk through this valley of deep darkness, and yet there is something that God reserves for the Christian that is such a blessing, and that is this. When we walk through the darkness, we feel the darkness and we see the darkness, but we feel that we are being led by this unseen being because we know He is with us. So we're in darkness and we don't know where we're going. And yet at the same time, we're confident walking through it because God is with us. It's a strange thing to be in the freezing temperatures and be hot. No different than it's a strange thing to be walking in absolute darkness with confidence that you know you're going the right way. Why? Because the Lord promises to be with us. I'm going to close. He says this. This strange combination reaches a height in verse 5. Now, if enemies are surrounding you in battle, if you eat, which you probably don't, but if you eat, you're grabbing something, throwing it in, and you're getting back to defending yourself, right? But he says this strange thing. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't that weird? You ever been around somebody who's dying, not acting like they're dying? They're at peace. They're laughing. They're encouraging you. They're edifying you. And you walk away and you say, this is just the strangest thing. I went to the house of sorrow and came out joyful. Why? Well, maybe that person is dining at a table that you can't see. That he's in the presence of the Lord. And though enemies, the enemy of death, is encamped all around, suddenly that enemy does not look so fearful because there's this little ruddy boy that's coming and has defeated death. Right? That's who's writing this. Is a man who knows what it's like to be in the presence of enemies. He knows what blood looks like. He has spilled much of it. He knows what the battlefield looks like. And yet, despite having this strange experience of knowing the heat of battle and the smell of death and what taking life is like, he also knows the calmness and tranquility of being a sheep out on a pasture. And blending these two life experiences together, he says, you know what? You can be in the presence of your shepherd and then in the presence of all of these enemies, and yet his presence is brings such a deep calm that he prepares this table for you to enjoy even in the presence of your enemies. And the natural deductive conclusion comes to verse 6, and he says this, as a result of what I've just said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Certainly, if these things are realities, then what follows is that goodness and mercy will certainly be with me forever. And he concludes, and he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a psalm. I don't know if I can find it. What it says. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist David here writes just a few chapters for us later of all the things he wanted, there was one thing that he wanted above all. And that was just to dwell in the presence of the Lord. This morning, I'm thankful that the Lord is my shepherd. I pray that God would make me more mindful of the provision and the protection that I'm entitled to as his sheep. I pray that I would not try to steal his job by providing and protecting for myself something that is, what a vain thing to try to do. But that I would allow, not that he won't already, but that I would in my heart depend upon him for my needs. And then that I would enjoy the benefits of the knowledge of just him being my shepherd. That I can find rest for my soul. Another place where it says that. And what a statement. That we can find rest for our souls. This morning, I'm thankful to be one of the Lord's sheep. I'm thankful that I know his voice. I can hear his voice. And I pray that God would help us to draw near to him. That's our message this morning. I pray the Lord would speak to you through it. Somebody have a word or testimony on your heart today, and then you feel the need to say this morning.